The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
It's time for our weekly interlude with Paul Harrington and our series The Lyrics The Thing, where we look at the craft behind the lyrics of some much-loved songs. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you? We continue now to have a look at the old classic songs through, as I say, a variety of lenses, and the emphasis, of course, being on the lyrics. So we're going to continue now with something very old and very familiar. So I'm going to give you your clue. There's no love song finer, but how strange the change from major to minor.
Every time we say goodbye.
That's the one. That's exactly the one. Yeah.
Written wonderful song. It's one of my all-time favorite songs. I remember getting a copy of it from my godfather, Frank Casey. He gave me a 45 by Ella Fitzgerald. And on one side was another classic, Manhattan, which has some great internal rhyming. And on the other side, Every Time We Say Goodbye. I've been in love with the song ever since.
Great, beautiful, beautiful song. And it was kind of revived for me some years ago as well, when Mick Hucknall of Simply Red did a version of it. But it's funny you mentioned Manhattan. We will, hopefully over the coming weeks, we'll take a look at that as well, because that's a very, very interesting piece. Anyway, back to today's tune, written by Cole Porter. And I think it was written around the 40s, or at least it was published then anyway.
Yeah. But probably now Paul, hang on a second. Yeah, there is a perception that songwriters, you know, it's rags to riches, whether you're Reg Dwight, Elton John, and suddenly become a gazillionaire. Not true in Cole Porter's case.
Not at all. In fact, I mean, his was a charmed life. He was born in a place called Peru in Indiana in the Great Lakes district of North America. And his dad, Samuel Porter, he did pretty well for himself. He was known as a druggist there. So apparently that's a North American term for a pharmacist. But he had a very solid business. But apart from that, he also fell in love with, presumably, and married a lady called Kate, who was described as the indulged daughter of the wealthiest man in Indiana. And his name was James Omar Cole. And, of course, that's how Cole Porter got his name, Cole Porter. Incidentally, James Omar Cole, his business, where he was making most of his money from, was C-O-A-L.
Oh, I didn't know that. Now, his father didn't play a major part in his upbringing, but he was an amateur poet and a pianist and a singer. So I'm sure he had some influence, but it was the mother who took charge.
Absolutely. Exactly. But she did take charge, is right. I mean, the father was the influence. And of course, like myself, having music around the house, it does rub off. But she was... his mom was described as quite a dominant and pushy sort of lady. And of course, she also wasn't afraid to access a lot of her daddy's loot. But she instigated all the formal training for the young Cole Porter. And by the age of six, he was on the violin. At eight, he was at the piano. And by the age of eight, he had completed his first operetta, and that was with the help of his mom. She kind of doted on him. But her dad, he had a whole different plan for the young Porter, because he wanted him to become a lawyer, and he sent him to the best schools and academies. He did a stint at Harvard Law School, which really wasn't for him. He was always kind of drawn to music, and it was largely how he made friends and pals by, playing the piano and writing little tunes. He did a stint as well at Yale University, and while he was there, talk about making you feel inadequate, he wrote 300 songs and then became president of the Yale Glee Club. But as I say, although he had a very good start in life, he was wonderfully talented, and of course he was hugely successful when you think of like his songs and Broadway musicals. And of course his most successful musical, Kiss Me Kate, not written for his mother, by the way, won the very first Tony Award.
He also lived accordingly, the lavish lifestyle.
He did, yeah. I mean, if you look back at some of the very old black and white movies, and you know, you would often see the stars and starlets living in these beautiful, beautiful apartments. A lot of these were all part of hotels, and he lived like the movies. He lived for 25 years in a magnificent suite on top of the Waldorf Astoria in Manhattan. And it's funny, every time I'm over there, I always pop in to see his piano. And I was there in the summertime, but it was all closed for renovations. But they've taken the piano away and they're restoring it. But if ever you're, I think it's going to be back in 2021. But if you happen to be passing the Waldorf Astoria, it's always worth going in to have a look at this piano. But yeah, he also lived a hugely bohemian lifestyle in Paris. He kept an apartment over there and you know, had a completely separate life. But that is a whole story in itself.
Now, out of the many songs that you chose, you could have chosen True Love, Night and Day, I've Got You Under My Skin, Begin. But in terms of the lyrics and the musicality of one particular lyric, Every Time We Say Goodbye is the one you've chosen.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, look, as you said, there's a lot of fantastic songs. And also as well, when I'm doing this, I also have to think of a song that I can play and manage too. But this is it's not simple, but it's not super complicated either. But, you know, I was looking at a lot of the lyrics of his songs, and to go from one extreme to the other, if you look at something like Anything Goes, he used to write kind of Diddy-esque type stuff, and he had lines, things like kind of in olden days, a glimpse of stocking was looking on or was looked on as something shocking, but now God knows anything goes. And then when you compare that to something like Why the Gods Above Me Who Must Be in the Know, they think so little of me, they allow you to go. And I kind of had a look at some of the rhyming schemes as well, and they look relatively simple. But it's, you know, when you look a little closer, it's very, very carefully crafted. When you look at just the way it falls, when you're near, there's such an air of spring about it. I can hear a lark somewhere begin to sing about it. And its beauty really is in that simplicity and, I suppose, the relatability of the subject matter. And of course, the lovely reference to nature as well, you know.
But the cleverality of the whole thing, near and somewhere being related in sound and spring and sing. So it's effortlessly clever.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. Well, it's effortlessly to him. But, you know, even like, you know, that there's a lovely line as well. There's no love song finer, but how strange the change from major to minor, which when I play it, I'll demonstrate it. It changes from a major chord to a minor chord. And it might sound corny or hokey, but it really, really, really complements it. And it's almost like a dark twist, but it is a happy song because he's celebrating the fact that when his lover or the other person in this song is around, that it makes him feel happy or sad accordingly, whether the gods are conspiring or, you know, when you're near, there's such an air of spring about it. But there was just before I give it a whirl, there was an interesting thing as well in relation to the major and the minor. Cole Porter, when he was at Yale, he majored in English and he minored in music, but obviously not in real life.
All right. Do you want to have a go?
Sure. Why not? Why not, Pat? Here we go.
Say goodbye. There's no love song finer, but how strange the change from major to minor. Every time we say, every time.